to be Nation. Welcome back to another amazing podcast for our greatest WWE wrestler of all time project. I'm Aaron George, and joining me today is a wonderful gentleman. His name is Greg Phillips. Greg, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, Aaron. Glad to be joining you guys on the wrestling side of the podcasting network here, and talking about this project that I think's been a lot of fun for everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm actually quite happy to talk to you because, like, I find, like, of all the people on the threads in the Facebook, you and I have tended to argue a little bit almost on every wrestler, which is good. But I like that. I like that there's a discourse going on as opposed to just he's great and then that's it.
Right. It's one of those things, and this is going back, you know, not to blow smoke or anything, but this is going back even a couple of years to when you did your, I believe, SummerSlam match list a couple of years ago.
Oh, right.
You know, you got a lot of blowback from that on certain communities and forums on the internet that I won't go into at the moment. But I was always defending you on that because even though we don't agree on a lot in wrestling terms, we have a lot of different tastes.
Sure.
I mean, the bottom line is all this shit is subjective. So.
No, I mean, it's a fact. A five-star match is a fact.
That's, according to some people on Twitter, that is the case. Just ask Mr. Meltzer.
Oh, so, no, that's it. Five-star isn't even good enough anymore, my friend.
No, we need a seven- or eight-star match.
It's coming. So who are we talking about today, Greg?
We are delving into, and I know you and Ben were talking about all the many nicknames of Seth Rollins. We've got another multi-nicknamed modern superstar to talk about, and that is the Viper, the Legend Killer, the Apex Predator, the guy who does stuff, Randy Orton.
Yes, he does have a lot of nicknames, and it feels like he's been around forever, and I guess he has in a lot of ways. His career, like, we're going to talk a lot of categories, and I mean, right off the bat, just so you guys know where we're coming from with this project, we're using the NJPW system. It's not a Japanese thing in any way. It is, they each stand for, it's an acronym, and N stands for nuance, and one of the great things in nuance we talk about is longevity. And I think Orton does definitely have a good body of work and a great long career at this point, so he's a great candidate in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, 2002, when he made his debut on SmackDown as the fresh-faced white meat baby face, who was basically pretty much a job guy at that point. And he's kind of undergone over the years this evolution, one might say, into what we have today. And so, I mean, there's not many guys right now in WWE that have that level of longevity in terms of not just longevity, but longevity in a prominent role. You've got John Cena, and that's pretty much it that can match him in that category.
And not
on the current roster.
Not a lot of time off for injury either. Like, he did have a few little points, but like a guy who's been around that long, he's been quite consistent in terms of being able to stay healthy, which in itself is impressive.
Right. I mean, he's had his bits here and there. Like, I'll never forget probably one of the low points of his career when he injured himself doing his taunt.
Oh, the best.
not a shining moment for Mr. RKO there. And he's had a few run-ins with wellness violations over the years, which have cost him some time. But for the most part, he's worked a full-time schedule, and he's been able to stay healthy, and now he's at that part of his career that guys in his position reach where you can kind of control your schedule a little bit more, and he can take time off when he needs it. And I think it's at least physically helped him, even if it hasn't necessarily paid off in terms of his recent character work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does have a bit of trouble with character work, and that's something I would actually think comes up in this particular nuance category. Like, as much as we've seen him over the years, I find he does have a bit of trouble. I mean, he transitions from heel to face, but the character doesn't really change that much. It's still angry, scowly, banging the ground Orton.
Which, it's such an interesting category for him because he does have that longevity, and he does have a character evolution in terms of he did go through the white meat baby face phase, and then he went through the cocky legend killer evolution phase, and then he kind of at some point morphed into this sort of PTSD Orton,
yeah.
the
The mental health issue Orton.
The mental health issues, serial killer Orton, as some called him. And then he kind of turned into the authority champion of champions kind of guy, and now he's kind of in this, like you said, angry, scowly guy phase. So he's gone through these different phases, but and I've been a fan of him at various points, but I do agree that that is something where you do see maybe he gets hurt a little bit from that, from the top tier guys, as far as he does tend to fall back on some of the same mannerisms, some of the same characteristics, which everybody's guilty of to an extent. Sure. But I think with Randy, there's never been a performer, I would argue, that it is more obvious as a viewer when he is checked in and when he is checked out. Is that fair to say?
Oh, I would agree with that 1,000%. I would also think there's something weird about him in that, like, I find his best matches tend to be when he's a face, but he doesn't fit as a face at all character-wise.
Yep.
And I think that in some ways hurts him, which is strange. Like, it's not at all his fault, but something doesn't fit when you're watching him at times.
You know, that is a great, actually, observation there, because I am and we'll get to that category later on. I am extremely high on his work rate, but it's most of the time anyway. But I think that, like you said, it's a situation where his variety as a face and a heel doesn't match up. I've said this, I think that's the same case with guys like Booker T as well, where when he's a face, his ring work is as good as anybody's in the company, in my opinion. Like when he's checked in, obviously.
Yeah.
He has great timing on his comebacks, things like that. But as a face, his character is just dull and honestly boring most of the time, with some exceptions here and there. He's a great heel. He's a natural heel, and plays that role well, and openly admits on his Twitter account that he prefers playing a heel and would never be a babyface if it were up to him. The problem is his ring work doesn't necessarily fit that, because when you think of Randy Orton's ring work, I think most people think of his big offense, the DDT, the RKO, and things like that.
It's the explosive counters that pop the audience. You know, it's very much a face moveset, mixed in with some chin locks, of course. Let's not forget the chin locks.
Of course.
Yeah, an important part of his arsenal. But let's talk about, like, I mean, look, the work rate is the W in the system. Let's just talk about it now then, since it's up. For me, where it splits off is, and one of the things with this project is that we have Jump Up Factor, which incorporates his great matches, and Work Rate, which is his actual work in the ring. And that's the separation there, right? So in terms of work rate, I would agree with you that I think he's actually quite amazing. Like, when I watch him in ring, I think you could make an argument he's one of the very best of all times in terms of how he does moves. Like, his work is crisp, everything looks clean, his dropkick is great, even his chin locks. Some people, like, everybody rags on his chin locks, and I just did a bit too. But there's guys now that everybody does a chin lock, but they just sit in it, but not Orton. Orton, you feel him, he wrenches it. It looks like it's an actual physical contest. He does all these amazing little things work rate-wise. So my problem with him as a performer is that less often than not, that amazing work rate doesn't make an amazing match. And that's where I have the problem with him as a performer. Because as a work rate, he's almost peerless in a lot of ways, I find.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much encapsulate a lot of what I was going to say about him. I think Randy Orton, to me, is a guy that in an era where so few guys – and listen, I have all the respect in the world for what these guys and girls do, but there are so few people on the rosters today that have a mastery of the little things in wrestling. And by little things, I mean something as simple as body movement. I'm big on body movement in wrestling. When I think back to the guys that I enjoyed when I was a kid to watch in the ring, the Kurt Hennigs, the Ric Flairs, the Bret Harts, guys like that, even Bam Bam Bigelow, even Andre the Giant, as you know, immobile as he was, it's about – there's certain guys that know how to work and know how to move their body in a way that tells a story, that's appropriate for their character and what they're doing. I think Orton is one of the best. When you watch Randy Orton sell a super kick – to me, it's one of those great pleasures, small pleasures. I could just watch Randy Orton a super kick all day long. The way that he does the rubbery legs, the twirl, the glass Joe from Punch Out Fall.
Yeah.
He does all of these little things great. Like you said, when he applies a chin lock, he actually works it and wrenches it in. He's really, really good at selling. He's really good at timing in the ring and knowing when to time his comebacks. If he's a heel, knowing when to give the baby face his comebacks. And he's very good at laying his stuff in. And in particular, I want to call out attention to his punches. I think Orton has some of the best worked punches in the business today, which
oh, yeah.
I know that's not saying a whole lot, but his are awesome. I've always marveled at how good they are.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, they're so good that like you almost, because he always punches on the forehead. You're mm-hmm. like, how is he not breaking his hand? Because I don't know how he's faking this exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I think he's also very inventive in terms of finding new ways to get into old moves. Like something as stupid it was amazing, like the curb stomp into the RKO at WrestleMania 31.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. Like, he deserved that little dance he did right before he pinned Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that's something to be said as well, because he's taken kind of what DDP was doing in WCW in the late 90s of coming up with new ways to do the Diamond Cutter, and
yeah.
he's applied it to the RKO and updated it and kept it interesting. And not just the RKO, but that snap power slam that he does, finding new ways to work that into the match.
Yeah, the spot at the Royal Rumble this year where he nailed Reigns out of the spear was amazing.
Oh, yeah. He has got a mastery, and I think that's why the workers in wrestling have so much affinity for Randy, is he makes it – you know, JBL says this on commentary all the time. It's a cliche, but it really does apply. He makes it look easy. He does inventive things and comes up with new ways to keep people on the edge of their seats in terms of how is he going to hit the RKO, how – you won't even think about the DDT off the apron, which is a very, you know, hackneyed move at this point and takes a lot of setup, but he finds ways to do it that are really interesting, especially when he's motivated, especially when he's checked in. Now, a potential negative to him in the work rate category, Aaron, is, as we talked about, when he's checked out, it's extremely obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, like it, and it's the opposite of everything we just talked about. The chin lock isn't locked in. The punches aren't as snug. It's mm-hmm. it's just not there. Like, and one, if I just may throw another positive in quickly, he's always in character in the match too, and he's legitimately funny in most of his matches, I find too. Like in that first mm-hmm. match with Jinder Mahal, when he dumped one of those Singh brothers on the table, basically it looked like he broke his neck. Like he stayed in character, and that face he made was like a I don't know.
If he's like, yeah, maybe I went a little far on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's not getting up to help with the finish. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's great at those little things like that. And for me as a fan, he's been almost a breath of fresh air in this generation, because while I love the guys and how hard they work and the matches they put together a lot of the times, I think Orton's almost in some ways a throwback kind of wrestler in terms of how tight and crisp his stuff is, and when he wants to be, he's as good as it gets, because his execution, the fact that he pays attention to those little elements. I remember a match with him and Daniel Bryan on Raw in February 2014, I think, shortly before WrestleMania 30, and they had this just like 25-minute NWA-style main event on Raw, and something as little as Orton, as he's got Daniel Bryan on the mat, and he's got him in like a Fujiwara armbar or something, and he starts wrenching his fingers apart, which is something you see in the indies and
yeah.
you see in New Japan, but you don't really see in WWE.
No, great. Like, look, I think we've patted him on the back a lot for the work rate, and I'm with you on all of it. Like, so then the question remains is, when we go to the jump up factor category, for me it's way too empty for what it should be. And it's not to say he doesn't have great matches, because he does. He's got we'll talk about a couple of them, obviously. But for someone who's had the amount of opportunity to have long matches with top stars for as long as he has, it's baffling to me that it's baffling to me that we're not talking about him as a number one all-time guy. Like, because all the tools are there. And I think we'll talk about his promos too, but that's the biggest case against him in this rating.
Um, I, And I think this is probably where we diverge a little bit, because I think he does have a very, very filled cabinet of great matches. I think the one thing that I can say about him is when you compare his level of work to, say, a John Cena or a Bret Hart or somebody like that, the tippy-top matches aren't there. I'll grant that. Like, he doesn't have – like, John Cena at this point has, what, you know, 6 to 10 probably, 4.5 to 5-star matches. Randy probably has maybe 5 that have reached that level,
right?
If that. And so – but I think he's got a ton of 3.5 to 4-star matches, probably more than any one of his era, because what I find myself saying is that the average Randy Orton match, to me, is more interesting than the average John Cena match, but the top-tier John Cena matches are better than the top-tier Randy Orton matches, which is an interesting dichotomy. But I think that you mentioned some of his matches that stand out. I go back and I look even as early as 2004 with the Mick Foley match at Backlash 2004. That was pretty early into Randy's career. I think he was, what, 21 at that time or something like that. And he's already having a match that good. And I thought he had a good match with Benoit at SummerSlam.
Underrated.
He had underrated. And it's one of those things where it's a shame, because I haven't even gone back to watch it in recent years because of all the stuff that happened later on.
Yeah.
But it was I remember really enjoying that at the time and enjoying Randy, watching Randy progress. I thought he had a good match with Undertaker at WrestleMania in 2005. I thought they had a pretty decent feud there with some good matches. Their SummerSlam match we recently did a live watch of and was much better than I remembered it being. And he hit a little bit of a lull there for a while, but he still had some excellent matches with the likes of Rey Mysterio in 2006, Edge, and he had a good match on Raw in 2007. And then I thought he really hit one of his two peaks towards the end of 07 when he got that title run, and he had that feud with Shawn Michaels where they had the No Super Kicks Allowed match at Survivor Series,
right,
which I thought had some great psychology. And then that led into some good stuff with Jeff and on into the fall. And then, of course, we'll talk, I'm sure, a little bit later about his 2011. But what did you make of the early Randy Orton, sort of that that evolution era and maybe just past that Randy Orton?
I like the Foley match. Like, I don't like it. I love it. I think it's a great match. I just – when I'm looking at a greatest wrestler ever, I try as much as possible to look for the high points in their matches without gimmicks. So I don't want to disparage that match in any way, but I think it does have some advantages over other matches. So it's great, and I love it. I just rewatched the Undertaker WrestleMania match, and I loved it. Like, I thought he was so good in it, and Undertaker was great in it too. But what I found again watching, I just watched through the whole year of 2005 pay-per-views, and as good as he is at his highs, the lows are also quite low. Like, I didn't enjoy the rest of that Undertaker feud. Found it very rehashed a lot of times. I thought the SummerSlam match was fine. And in terms of 2006, again, it's like I feel we get good stuff from him, but with the amount of opportunity, I want more great. So I'm on board with what you're saying. Like, I think we're just at a bit of a philosophical difference here in terms of like what we're looking for in him as a complete performer. Because like,
right.
Because like I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, he has this slew of matches, but it's just like, man, like, like, if you gave Daniel Bryan the same amount of opportunity, like, he'd probably blow away every single person that's ever been in wrestling. You get what I mean? Maybe that's an exaggeration.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
So it's more that, like, I want him more consistent, and I want him more more engaged all the time. But I agree it's fun to watch him grow. I do like that Benoit match. And when we get to 2011, he's incredible in that feud with Christian. Like, just fantastic.
Yeah, I think that I think for a long time I thought that Randy would never again reach the heights that he hit towards the end of 2007 with the Shawn feud and even into the Jeff Hardy feud. I thought he was really on a good roll there and had found his character. And then he changed characters, and the character was fun, but his matches were pretty bad throughout 09 and 10. He was just not putting on good matches. And then something clicked in 2011, I think starting with the Punk feud.
Yeah.
And that is his Orton's 2011 to me is as good as anyone's year in the last 10 years. I mean, it was. I encourage anyone out there, if you're really on the bubble about whether Randy Orton cracks your list at all, or certainly if he cracks your maybe top 75, top 50, whatever, wherever you're going to have him, go back and watch his 2011 on SmackDown, because in the midst of these awesome pay-per-view matches, and you mentioned the Christian feud, that Christian feud is outstanding.
Yeah,
one of the best things WWE's done in a long, long time. I would probably put it second behind only HBK and Jericho in 08 as my favorite, quote, modern era WWE feud. They managed to put together interesting matches that built off of each other as they progressed. Every match built off of the previous match, and it morphed from this sort of two guys who respect each other into Christian being this weaselly, sniveling heel and Orton just wanting to murder him, and culminated it in what I thought was a phenomenal TLC match at SummerSlam and a really good steel cage match on Super SmackDown Live not long after that. So yeah. We'll figure that title. I thought his 2011 was special, and not just for the Christian feud, but along the way he had these great matches good matches with Punk, and then some really great TV matches with Sheamus and Kane, who are two extremely unlikely opponents to have good matches with.
I also like his work with Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah. Night of Champions, was it?
Yep. And then even the Hell in a Cell. Like, as much as I don't like that Hell in a Cell concept in terms of let's just throw anything on it, yeah. I thought they were solid throughout. So I guess those would be his big jump-up moments. Like, it's funny with him, right? Because, like, even when he wins the title and this and that, like, you wouldn't classify those things as all-time great moments.
Right.
Like, whereas,
I think Randy's best all-time moments you don't think of as being title wins. You really, at least in my case, I think of RKOing Evan Bourne on Raw out of the Shooting Star Press, or doing the Seth Rollins RKO, or you know, maybe the the popping out of the cake moment with Evolution or something. You know, you think about those, but you don't necessarily. Like, to your point, you know, when you think back to, say, when I think back to Brett, I think of him holding the title up at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
When I think back to CM Punk, I think Money in the Bank 11 when he's leaving with the title,
blowing that kiss.
But with Randy, you know. You kind of get what you get with Randy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is kind of a shame. Like, I mean, I know I'm in the minority of this, but I love his Royal Rumble win in 09. Like, they've never, ever done the, like, a team gets together and, like, kind of runs the thing. And I just love it. But, again, it doesn't – I don't know if it's hindsight that, like, maybe the WrestleMania match wasn't good, so we remember everything that kind of preceded it less fondly. There's something there. And I also wish – that, and again, I don't know where you stand on this, but I wish he would have had a better, more defining match with John Cena. I am not a fan of any of their matches, almost. Like, I find, like, they range for me from either, like, 3.5 stars at its peak to, like, 1 star at its absolute worst kind of thing. Like, and it's...
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And it's puzzling, because Cena's had great matches with everyone. And then you put him in there with, like, a legit world-class worker, and it just doesn't click.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think their best match to me was the Breaking Point I Quit match they had. I loved that match, and then they blew it with the finish. Like,
right.
It was like – it's one of those matches where it was beautiful, the story they were telling. It was so different from everything that WWE has kind of conditioned us to expect in a match. And then, like, at the end, it's every WWE – of that era John Cena match that you'd seen with the instant comeback and the instant tap out.
Yeah.
It's like, where was the story progression? And then they had a couple good ones, I thought, in 07, but just nothing. Like you said, every time it felt like they were on the cusp of maybe reaching that greatness, it just kind of ended.
Just short. And their 2013-14 is just abysmal.
Brutal.
But I don't know if the matches themselves, what they're doing is fine. It's just such poor reading of the audience in that moment.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, but they got to the point where they had some really inventive spots, like the RKO out of the Attitude Adjustment was a cool spot, but, you know, there really wasn't a progression in their matches. There wasn't building off of past encounters like you saw in the Christian feud, and it just kind of went there. Another thing about Orton that is interesting, and I think is probably going to hurt him in the eyes of a lot of folks that maybe don't have as good a memory of the week-to-week shows, is even his Daniel Bryan feud, I loved, but here's the problem. I loved all their TV matches, and I mostly hated their pay-per-view matches.
Right. Yeah,
and it's so weird, because they had 30 minutes plus to work on, like, three pay-per-views in a row, and I thought the matches were just, you know, they were okay. They were solid, but then they'd go on Raw, they'd have a random thrown-together Raw main event that would go 20 minutes and be one of the best TV matches of the year.
That first match they had where Bryan makes him tap out with the kendo stick in his face.
Oh, yeah.
A legitimately great match. Like,
yeah.
So where do
that
you think
was, that was tremendous. And that was during, yeah.
Yeah, just an amazing, amazing moment. So the last category is promos. For me, there's just kind of nothing really to say here. Like he's not the worst.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. There's nothing that gives him positives in this category from promos.
Yeah, no, I listen, I'm probably the biggest Orton supporter at Place to Be Nation, and he's one of my favorites probably of all time to watch, but his promos have never been that good.
No.
I thought his promo work was much better in Evolution, actually, when he was the cocky – he's basically playing himself. He was the cocky, arrogant kid who thought his shit didn't stink, basically. And now I don't know that he's ever really found it since then. 2009, I thought he had some decent promos when he was doing the weird mental illness gimmick.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, I think it's weird. I think the promo I remember the most from him is when he told Matt Hardy he was going to kick him where his appendix used to be. he's got really nothing in this category. And one thing I'll say about Randy in this category that I do, you know, we were talking about his lows being low. I don't consider his lows to be that low in the ring, but his lows in promos have been really low.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, because in a wrestling promo, I would rather you be actively bad than to be boring. And I think Randy has committed the cardinal sin of being immensely boring at times.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's not his fault. Like,
sure.
So few guys are built to do the 20-minute promo nowadays. Like, and so you send someone who's like a little below average in terms of charisma speaking wise, and they're going to die in that promo every time. And I think he suffered a bit from that in the 2009, even in like when he was with the Authority. Like, that's, to me, those are the lowest points. And yes, it's on him, but he shouldn't bear all the blame from it.
That's true. I mean, it's hard to, if you see it even in good guys that you know can talk well. Roman Reigns, for instance, is in real life, a charismatic guy, but when you give him a scripted promo and he sounds like a robot, and that's kind of what has always been the case with Randy.
Suffering succotash, son, you know? No one... Roddy Piper couldn't make that work, so I don't think Roman Reigns...
Hell, did you see how bad Roddy Piper was every time he came back to WWE and tried to do scripted promos?
Yes. I mean, Piper's a whole other conversation with the promos, too, but yeah. So listen, for Randy Orton, then, where do you think he falls on? Like, we're getting near the end here. What do you think? Where do you think he falls on your list in terms of like greatest WWE wrestler of all time?
He is going to end up in my top 50 for sure, and he's probably going to push for top 25 for me. I know that's a little high for a lot of people out there, but when I think back to the number of good matches that he's put together, and the fact that he's remained relevant for this long, and that he's remained over for this long. And not everybody that has been pushed in his position has remained over in that situation. Sheamus, for instance. And so, I think Randy's going to finish pretty high for me. I don't know that he'll crack my top 25, but he's going to be pushing it. What about you?
I think it's pretty similar. Like, for sure top 50. Like, I almost think that, like, whereas with a lot of these guys, under scrutiny, they get bumped out. I feel like under scrutiny, he's going to move up a little bit. So I could see him finishing maybe as high as, say, 35, like around there. And I think for me, in terms of how disappointed I am with him as a performer in general, it's actually quite a very high, he's very high on my list. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable. And I'm hoping that's how it's going to turn out, because I think that when people get over their dislike of the character, or their dislike of how much he's been pushed, or things like that, and they actually start looking at the work, I think he's going to end up faring better against a lot of the competition than people might realize.
Exactly. Anything? Any last thoughts on Randy Orton before we close off?
No, not much. I'm a big fan. I understand he's not everybody's cup of tea, but my big hope is that people during this project will maybe give some of these TV matches we talked about a shot, because pretty much everybody's seen the big pay-per-view matches, but take a look at some of the stuff that we mentioned from 2011 in particular and see where Orton ends up on your list.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, do that. I think you made a great case for him. I think the matches you pointed out were fantastic. So yeah, check it out, guys. We've had our say on Randy Orton, Greg and I. So now tell us what you think. Follow the project at placetobenation.com. We've got live chats up every day where we discuss these things. Also on the Place to Be Nation Facebook group, we have links to the greatest WWE wrestler of all time. You can join our group. You can join in the discussion. So, Randy Orton, your turn now. Thank you so much for joining us. Talk to you soon.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me. You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is my savior.